Okay, quiet in the studio. We are ready to rock and roll. Did you like that?
Yes.
Okay. Amazing.
That was very good. Thank you. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And this is Jonathan Starkey, a.k.a. AbFab, with your fabulous digital pub called Cheshire Matters. And the only problem is that we've got...
Where have you been? Where have you been? We've been hanging on here for ages. So you get your second act together.
Well, if we told the truth about why we've been hanging on for ages, you wouldn't like it, so shut up.
Flipper is supposed to be technically minded. We've been hanging on here for ages while you mess around.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, we know that the Raven's in, so we don't need to introduce him. Okay, Mark, say hello, sir.
Hello, how are we all? All right?
We're all doing very good, actually. Apart from the rest of the country.
Yeah, can't forget the lovely listeners. Hope you're all well.
Oh, yeah. The lovely listeners who are also...
Just a member there, Mr.
Always interrupting Moriarty. Right, that's it. A mute.
Oh, okay. I'm going for four today.
Okay.
You're gone already.
Well, it'll go long, more than that, I can assure you. Okay, Trevor, say hello, sir.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tuning in again, as always, and I hope your universe has been better than my universe today. Thank you.
Oh, yes.
And I'd just like to say a very good evening to our wonderful listeners all over Cheshire and across the world, everywhere, except David Cameron. He now wants to, after having been parachuted in, wants to give away billions of British taxpayers' money.
Indeed.
How on earth has this man just been parachuted in and then with a big smug grin on his face wants to start handing billions more away to other countries?
That's a little corrupt.
That's the kind of guy he is. He's just so generous with other people's money. I mean, he's a real socialist. He actually is a real socialist, isn't he? Mark, you can comment on that.
Yeah, he got the training, didn't he? The gravy train.
Yeah, the gravy train.
He's a fraud.
Definitely. No two ways about that. Mm. Well, we're pretty glad that everybody is okay. So let's go on and start up with the roundup. And the first one that's going is Turkey's president, Erdogan, declares Israel a terrorist state. Talk about the pot calling the kettle black.
Okay. Yeah.
What do you think of that? No comments on that?
I just want to comment, John, on the appalling growing calls of anti-Semitism in the country with, as I saw in Liverpool on Saturday, with a pro-Palestinian march calling for peace, intermingled with that appalling chant, "From the river to the sea." And we all know what that means, and we all know what their agenda is, and I was disgusted by what I was seeing in Liverpool on Saturday, to be quite honest.
So, are we talking about? Are we talking about, like, sort of from Duke Street to the Mersey?
No.
Is that what they were talking about?
You missed the landlord. You took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say the river Mersey to Southport.
What a load of rubbish that's going on. Right, well, okay, and the second one, what about this one? It's still Liverpool, isn't it? Could Man City and Chelsea be next? Because fears that more clubs could suffer the same fate as Everton after it is plunged into relegation with a 10-point deduction. As fuming
I don't
fans...
care. I just don't care about this sort of nonsense.
Well, apparently, the Football League have caught them out. And they're going to sanction them.
I think the government should follow suit and start holding people to account. You break the rules, there should be some punishment, surely. But
well,
maybe not 10 points. It's a bit harsh. But
Everton have gone into the relegation zone for breaching profitability and sustainability regulations after making a loss of $372 million over 3 years. That's $122 million more than the $250 million permitted. Now, you think about it.
Peanuts.
Sustainability. You must have too many private jets on the go.
Well, so because they weren't profitable, they've been given sanctions. Now, think about it.
Oh,
if you're
that's
not
a very
profitable,
dangerous message.
If you're not profitable, you offset those losses against any profits. So if you continue to be unprofitable, then that's a problem. Now, the FA are stating that The government are not stating it. The FA are stating it. So are you getting what I'm saying here?
They're like Warrington Borough Council then.
Well, they are actually...
deducting 10 points.
They're in the top 20 richest football clubs in the world.
Well, Everton?
Everton, yeah.
Wow.
Doesn't say much for the rest of them, does it?
No, that's what I thought.
It's all going to come to a head eventually, and it'll all come crumbling down. Maybe that's what needs to happen and start afresh.
Well,
too much money in football. It's not about the game, is it? It's
they could have
about rich men playing games, isn't it?
They could have imposed a transfer ban, but they instead plumped for a points deduction. That's what they did. So there you go. So, and it's
I just don't think it's not a sport. I mean, with Mark on this, it's not a sport anymore. It's big business. Yeah. And when I see footballers being paid in 1 week what it would take a nurse to earn in about 50 years, I think it's obscene. That's my view on it.
That's what Trevor earns in half a day. Isn't that right, Trev?
Yeah, that's right. That. And I tell you what, I mean, them nurses, I mean, we should pay the nurses 50 million a week.
Yeah.
Go with that. Go with that.
I think football should be performance-related pay anyway. You can't come off the pitch getting beat 4-0, laughing and joking about it and still get your 100 grand. You're joking, aren't you?
Joking, yeah. No, I would agree with that. You're not talking about Man U, are you?
I'm talking about every team. They're all overpaid, in my opinion. But yeah, definitely Dock City anyway. That'll help Liverpool, so.
Well, another thing that I picked up on this week is Peter Hitchens. And there was a story that's barely been noticed by anyone. And it's a guy who is, he's British, but he's actually been supporting the Russians in the fight against Ukraine. And he got sanctioned.
That was a spy?
No, he's not a spy. It dates back to July 22 when the Foreign Office imposed sanctions on a video blogger called Graham Phillips. This is who this guy is. A UK citizen and former civil servant living in Russian-occupied eastern Ukraine. And he was described in Parliament as a pro-Russian propagandist. So he was the subject of an asset freeze and is challenging the sanctions decision in the High Court. Go ahead, Mark.
When you said supported him, I thought you meant like financially or he'd been to fight. What, he just says some stuff on
the
podcast
said
and gives his opinion,
podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. We're seeing this more and more, aren't we?
Yeah, so he was unable to afford a lawyer. So this young barrister, a fellow called Joshua Hitchens, no relation to Peter, believes the principles behind the case are so important, he's taking it on without a fee. So he's arguing, even though people don't agree with him, he's arguing his right to his opinion.
Correct.
In the High Court.
Not being funny, you've got people giving their opinions on the streets of our capital city every weekend,
yeah,
and I don't agree with what they're saying, but...
Yeah, free speech.
It's happening, isn't it? Mm.
So he's arguing, you know, the barrister is arguing for liberty with a solitary solicitor to help him. On the other side, you've got this army of legal people with the Foreign Office headed by a distinguished KC, Mayor Lester. And behind her, she's got three other barristers supported by about half a dozen assorted aides and assistants. So, you know, what it's a little bit like, you know, a sledgehammer to crush a nut. And I don't know, we're interested, but there was absolutely nothing in the press about this. So if this guy wins his argument about free speech, then that means then that it's going to cause a problem for the government with anybody else.
I bet you the bottom dollar, if he gets found guilty, it won't be quiet in the news.
No, if he's found guilty, I bet you it'll come out. But you see, the main argument is that Britain is not at war with Russia. So why have they sanctioned this guy for supporting Russia in this? Go ahead.
Because the narrative police, if you go against the narrative, they come for you, the establishment.
Well,
they do it to everyone.
That's exactly what we've said for a long time, Mark. You know, the national narrative, and it's all one because they're all sort of socialist leaning now. Let's say what it is. And if you don't follow the national narrative, you're personified or you're attacked or various other mechanisms are initiated against you, and that's how it is.
Well, maybe the guy's not happy about Ukraine being riddled and celebrating neo-Nazis.
Yeah.
And he might have spoken up about that.
Yeah.
He's got a right to. Who knows? I don't really know what he said, but...
Well, as it is, I'm going to follow that up and just see what happens. Liberty depends in this country on what the outcome of that case is. Because, as I just said, this country is not at war with Russia. So why are they sanctioning him, this chap, just because he's expressing opinions in favor of Russia? It's wrong. It's totally
wrong. Do you
know
what charge he's up on?
Nope. I haven't got all the details.
We have answered.
Hold on, Steve.
What?
That's three times you've gone at the same time. You two, get a room. You two in tune with one another.
Go on, Trev.
Yeah, it's just corruption, isn't it? Yeah. Simple as that.
Something wrong. Something very wrong. Moving on. What about the election in Argentina? Javier Milei wins the presidential election in political earthquake. Right-wing former tantric sex coach. Compared to Donald Trump. I didn't even know that Donald Trump was a tantric sex coach, but there you go. Who wants to adopt the US dollar is voted in by a large margin. So, you know, that's happening. The left have finished in Argentina. That's it. They've had it. That's it. They're out.
It's happening.
Go ahead, Mark.
I reckon he's actually going to drain the swamp. He's going to like do what Trump failed to do. We've seen him ripping all the government departments down. They're gone. It was like most of them.
He loves Trump.
Yeah. He thinks, well, maybe Trump can take a little lead from him and go, oh, right, okay. Let's just go alpha leather next time, because it doesn't stop them going for him. So he's got nothing to lose, has he?
No. Well, he got in with 56% to his rival's 44%. With 99.4% of the votes counted. And so that was it. So they were all out. All the lefties in the government are out, and this guy is just going to go through them like a dose of salt, he's just said.
Hope so.
That's it.
Brilliant.
Let's see.
They could be our new friends now. Argentina,
yeah. His pledge is
for...
Who'd
have thought,
eh? I know. His pledge is for abrupt, severe change, resonating with the Argentines, weary of annual inflation soaring above 140% and a poverty rate that reached 40%.
Oh, they're catching us up.
No, we're not as bad as that.
These globalists set out to doing a good job of pushing groups together that probably wouldn't really. You know, like the English and the Irish with the immigration and...
Well, as the global banking system operating as they want, they're not bothered.
Well,
they will be eventually.
They need one of our riches to have the inflation, don't they? Get it down to 70%, that's what I say.
Oh, 70%. Do you reckon? Well, it brings me on to the last story of the roundup, and that is Rishi Sunak says that taxes will be cut now inflation has fallen as the Chancellor hails more positive economy, with income tax and national insurance in his sights at the autumn statement this week. Oh, what a joke that
do they
is.
Really, really still believe this crap?
Oh, Jesus.
Do they?
It's too much. It's too much.
About 2 weeks ago, we were saying, no, we're in no position to do this whatsoever. And now, ooh.
You know, he says he's
halved. I've got a statement.
He promised to halve inflation. And yet, food and other goods are going up exponentially. Mm. You know, so what the hell? So he's got inflation down to 5.6%. But everything else is going up.
What policy has he used? What has he done?
Nothing.
He hasn't done anything.
So
the Bank of England controls inflation, not anything that the government do.
And they don't really fully control it 100%. You've got to curb spending as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
So you can't control that. So, yeah. It's just more bluster, isn't it? There's a statement, people are going to vote for us on what I say, so I'll tell them what they want to hear. And then in another month, it's flip-flop time again. Oh, we're not in a position for the tax cuts. Hang on. Let's get back to the point. What did he do over Liz Truss when she wanted to do it?
Yeah.
How come it's not happening to him now? How come he's not being ousted? There's a coup. Oh, he was part of the coup, wasn't he? Sorry.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
He's part of it. What do you think they're going to do? What do you think the Chancellor's going to do this Wednesday? The rumours are that inheritance tax is going to be abolished in some way. What was that? Abolished. Was that you, Mark? Did you knock your mic?
Guilty.
Jesus.
Yeah, well,
we don't have noses on this program. Shut up.
At least mine works. That's two. That's I'm halfway two. To halfway to winning the sweep this week. Two more, please, landlord.
Is that again, listeners? Please take notice and write your letters of complaint.
There you go. That's it.
Oh, three. Slow down now. I only need one more for bingo. Muted bingo.
Well, you want to get your technical aspects sorted on this show.
Oh, my what finger on that mute button is doing just well enough to shut you up. Anyway, he's saying he can't do everything at once and it'll take discipline and we need to prioritise. Well, how do you need to prioritise? What are you going to do? You know? I cannot believe this guy. I mean, he just doesn't have any compassion for the people there. So they're saying that they can actually bring down inflation so that wages can go up. And yet, it doesn't matter if the wages go up because food, the cost of living, everything is going up beyond the cost of the wages. So how is that going to be making any big difference to people in their lives today? Go ahead, Mark.
I think what he should do is prioritise their resignations. That'll be a good start to fixing it, won't it?
Well, you've got to get rid of that. Got to get rid of Jeremy Hunt because
all of them.
Those eyes, he should have been the actual inspiration for Cat's Eyes and the Rhodes because it's like always so wide at a time when you look at him. It's like he looks like
who's this?
Jeremy Hunt.
Yeah, but that's the cocaine.
What, to keep them all awake at night?
Well, it was found in Parliament. No one owned up. So,
well, they've been hinting about tax cuts.
I've got an idea that it might have been.
And then they've been
Diane Abbott
pouring cold water on it. And then when the headline CPI rate dropped sharply to 4.6%, meeting the PM's target of being halved this year, although it is still more than double the Bank of England's target. So, I don't know what he's going to do, but I think he's going to tinker with it. And I don't think it's going to amount to much because he wants to hold back. You know, something, you know, for the elections.
Yeah, which is coming out to the Human Courts of Human Rights, whatever it's called.
Yeah. I mean, he's got fiscal...
Did you see that meme that I put up the other day that I sold you this cake last year, something along these lines, for £1. Then I doubled it to £2, which was 100% inflation, and then I brought it back down to £3, which was only for 50% inflation.
That's right. So he raised the cost from £2 to £3, which represents a 50% cut in inflation.
Yeah, so he halved inflation on a bun that cost £3 in the end.
Absolutely. Oh, it's all bullshit.
All of it's poppycock. Inflation's poppycock. He sent back a load of deported a load of these migrants and all that lot. Absolute crap. It's words. It's all words. Where's the proof?
There is none. They should deport the people who are printing this money off non-stop. But that's themselves, isn't it? God, I could find a way to stop that.
Well, he could.
18 months ago, Jonathan, sorry about this. 18 months ago, and we've got it on record, on the podcast, I said quantitative easing increases inflation. I said that 18 months ago, and I'm not the Chancellor of the Exchequer.
It's not rocket science, though, is it?
No, it's well known. It's happened in the States and many other countries many times over. It's just
18 months ago. It's absolutely pure common sense, pure economics.
Sends the prices up and sends the value of the currency down. It becomes worthless in the end.
Yeah,
exactly.
Incredible.
Well,
incredible.
My feeling is that he's not going to release the big guns until just before the election. And then,
oh, no, he's going to try and buy the election. They all do that. Yeah.
He could reduce tax by a couple of pence. He could do that. He's got the fiscal room. Or 2p in the pound.
Shouldn't pay any tax on the first 20 grand. It reminds me of a policy. Isn't that one of your policies in reform, Trev?
Oh, I was going to say, Steve, I can't believe you just said that.
Yeah, there's corking
policy. The Reform UK's policy is to increase the level that you pay tax up to £20,000. And that will increase It'll help people. Well, I was going to say on benefits, but it won't help them on benefits, actually. It'll encourage them back to work. These people that earn more money, basically being on benefits than they do if they're actually in work, it'll help to ease that as well. It's an absolute plus plus, and it's all been costed as well. Before people start screaming and shouting, how are you going to pay for it? Simple. It's all been costed.
Well, let's look. I kind of figure that he's going to do income tax and NIC. That's what I think he's going to cut in this announcement that's coming. Go ahead, Steve.
Just following on from what Trevor said there, he made a comment which was slotted in, which is people sometimes earning more money or having more money than those people who are going out to work. That is a big issue. And some people are picking up very high benefits packages if they've got a good few kids and whatever. And what they pick up as a range of benefits and everything else can actually be equivalent to a very sizable income. Because to take home after tax, those people who are working, what they get in their hand,
has got to be
a sizable income. That's never taken into account.
Yeah.
So Trevor's hit on a big point there.
Yep.
And that's very, very sizable. I mean, I've seen people in certain areas where they've not had a job. I'm talking about people who are able to work and just don't want to and not have a job for 10, 20, sometimes 30 years. And it's a lifestyle choice.
Averaging 18,000 to 20,000 benefits, Steve. So how much would you have to earn to get that after tax? You'd be looking at 30,000+.
Yeah, take that home. You're probably looking about 27 grand, 28 grand, something like that, I would think, as a guess.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah, you're up near a third of it, and they're getting that and not paying tax on it. Well, obviously, don't pay tax on it, but, you know, got to be stopped. It's got to be stopped.
I think £20,000, I like that policy of £20,000, no tax payable on the first 20K. I do, honestly.
But what about the self-employed? I'll say this before I bring Mark in. The issues are that you only get taxed on your profits as self-employed. So therefore, if you are actually able to earn more, you're going to invest. You're going to invest in your equipment. You're going to invest to expand. You're going to invest to do those other things. So when you're talking about people who haven't worked, a living wage now is somewhere between 22 and 24,000 a year. So what are you going to do? Because you, amongst that percentage of the people that are actually taking that money, are quite a high percentage of disabled. So what are you going to do? Steve's holding up his pen. Okay, Steve, go on. Mark said you can go next. Even though I said it was going to be Mark, you can go next. All right.
Well, we're going with the editor's decision, and the editor's decision is final. Now,
I'm the editor-in-chief. Shut up. Muted.
That doesn't...
Oh, no. I don't get any more trouble, Steve, because I'm in. I've got bingo. House. Four.
Go ahead.
You just said something there about self-employed people. Do you know it's the biggest area of contribution to the whole economy in this country?
It is.
Self-employed. It's about 4 million people, that is.
Yeah.
And also... You also said about what they invested. I take Trevor as an example.
Equipment.
They're all buying insurance. They're all buying equipment. They're all investing in all sorts of other peripheral services and products, left, right, and centre.
Well, we won't go into that with Trevor.
Well, perhaps not. But the fact of the matter is they put it's the biggest sector of the economy, self-employed people, and what they put into the economy. And they get the hardest time. And I just want to say, we need to cover this again at a certain time. A lot of self-employed or small businesses have to go through facility management companies to access contracts with some of the major chains.
And rent every time seekers, you do I call that, them.
Yes, well, I've had this myself in the past. You then have to pay to register with them, provide all sorts of information. And then you pay an annual registration fee and you have to renew this every year. And that's just to get in with some of the big chains. And you want to go to do business with another big chain. They might use a different facility management company and you have to go through all that process with somebody else. And you could be paying initial registration charges and annual charges to these organizations every single year. As a small business, just to do business.
That's a detail. That's because that's corporatocracy taking over. Go on. Mark, go ahead. You were going to speak, and then Trev. Go ahead.
Yeah, before we move on, I just noticed something. I noticed one landlord of a digital pub there drinking Bud Light. Is there something you're not telling us, darling? Have you got new pronouns?
Don't call me landlord. My name is Dylan.
What's your pronoun, sweet cheeks?
Hey, how did you know? You're psychic. Oh, what? I didn't get it. It was somebody picked it up for me.
You're drinking it.
That's the only stuff I've got. Not so subtle hints. That's what it is.
I'm cutting that out. I'm cutting that out, you bastard.
One of his transvestite mates who picked it up for him.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, I was going to add earlier as well that I've been looking into carrying on work after your retirement ages, et cetera, et cetera. And I've been looking into the dotting the I's and crossing the T's, and apparently that, you know, when you come to the end of your working life and you decide that you want to maybe do a little job just to top up your pensions, et cetera, then if you're employed, that's fine, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're self-employed and you decide that you're going to carry on doing something, then you've got to carry on paying your national insurance.
Ooh.
If you're self-employed only.
Did you know that always with these rules, morality, I'm telling you.
You supposedly have to pay for something like 42 years to contribute. And then they reduced it. When we got our jolly foreigner friends in, they reduced it because obviously they couldn't contribute that amount to allow them to get their pension. So they reduced it to about 36 years, I think it was. But I've put in 46 years or thereabouts.
So if you retire and do some jobs.
If I retire and do some jobs.
Still pay your national insurance.
I still have to pay national insurance.
Surely they legally can't stop your pension, though.
No, they carry on. You'll get your pension.
So why do you have to carry on paying in?
Well, you tell me. It's the system. They just absolutely got you screwed to the...
Yeah, but also you'll have to pay tax if you go over the threshold on the additional pensions and stuff like that when you've already paid tax to pay those pensions.
Oh, this is the most taxed country in the world.
Why are we taxing people who are retired? Shouldn't pay anything.
Well, they don't tax them in Greece, do they?
No, they don't. No.
This is what I don't understand, why this country is so mean to its own people.
Well, I'm absolutely stuck for words. I'm honestly stuck for words. I mean, this place has got you screwed to the floorboards.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's as simple as that. I just don't know. I don't know.
Do you know what? We should start up a party that forgives everybody of all their loans, all their outstanding loans. Everybody starts from a zero position.
We're having a party, did you say? We're having a party.
Yeah, we start a party. And we get rid of all the loans. We zero everything.
Whoa, stop. How many times have I said about starting a new party? And he said, oh, no, don't do that.
No, not with you. This is separate.
Charming.
Well, I want to
zero everything. Zero all the loans. Cut the banks out of the picture. Develop the Bank of England so that everybody can access it. Ta-da! There you go. Now, we're going to get a vote winner on that one.
I want to start my own party because I've already been in 27. I've had more parties than Mick Jagger. So if I finally get me home before I finish, that's it. That'd be great, that.
All right, okay. All right. Well, I think that's just about it on that discussion. I mean, that's almost like a national. Let's go on to the national. And this is with Statsman, who wants to have a chat about immigration. Okay, Statsman, this is the national. I can see that your face is tightening up. The lines are actually starting to show. And the frown. There's the frown. There's the frown. We can see the frown. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I need some Botox, don't I think?
Botox.
As long as I don't. Keep a straight face, it's all right.
But the lights and now Botox. What's going on here?
I'll borrow some off the landlord.
We've got enough boats going on around here. We don't need any more boats, thank you.
Oh, so where are we up to? Oh, Rwanda and that failure. Yeah, it seems like if you vote for the fake cons, you get the opposite of what you actually voted for. So that's good, isn't it? In my opinion, I think this Rwanda thing is just bullcrap. Even Dominic Cummings said it, didn't he? He said he recommended to the government turn back the boats, but they weren't interested. It's just a sideshow, in my opinion. And stopping these boats won't save us. To be honest, I think it's a bit like trying to fix a tiny little gap, like a seal a little crack in your bath, but ignoring the fact that there's no side on your bath. Because the majority of the people, 1 million people who entered the country last year, were here legally, apparently.
And also, people in this country are so stupid. They really are. I mean, I just interrupt for a second, Mark. I mean, what about that rapist? That all the people on the plane, he was being deported, and all the people on the plane complained about him being deported. And then he's been here, and he's cost this country, what, up to £1 million?
Yeah.
Over the last 5 years? And this guy's a rapist.
This is what I was coming to now. In my opinion, this is the politician's fault. I want to say, how can they sleep at night? In fact, how did he even raise their heads in public and not be ashamed of what they've allowed this country to turn into?
Yeah, absolutely.
They literally stand there like Rishi with their empty promises, admitting where they went wrong and expect us to believe they'll fix it. I actually think that's very insulting to our intelligence. And they look down on us with contempt. So I've got a few questions for the politicians myself.
Go ahead,
I want to ask them, are they proud of rape victims living in fear because morons stopped the plane taking off, which was meant to deport him? Are they proud of the multiculture clash and the disrespect for our culture? Are they proud of the hatred for our way of life on our streets?
No integration whatsoever.
No, are they happy with these achievements? Look at the religious and racial tension, the division we're experiencing now. This hatred that wasn't around when I was younger.
No.
And this very hatred is what the left apparently have been, you know, so against. Are they proud of that too? Are they happy for women and children to be put at risk because violent sexual attacks are on the rise, as is uncontrolled immigration from countries that are the most unsafe for women? But I'm sure that's all just a coincidence, isn't it? You know,
unsafe for women. The women don't even have any rights in these countries.
I know, John, but I'm sure it's just a coincidence, even though the papers are full of it every day. Are they proud of 20 years of terrorist attacks, children being blown up and politicians slaughtered? They must be, because they've just allowed suspected terrorists to cross the channel. Yeah. And guess what? The boat, there's literally a manhunt. I'm sick of them not taking our warnings or taking responsibility.
It's almost as if they are deliberately wanting to destroy the way of life in this country. We're talking about the politicians. Yeah. Who is allowing this to go on?
Well, it's them. And rather than taking responsibility, what do? Persecute the ones who speak out. Does that help them sleep at night?
Well, that's right. You can see that in all the actions of the police. You can see that in the actions of the police in London. They will arrest the small contingent of people that they call far right.
It's cowardice.
As against the people that are actually breaking the laws, which are the pro-Palestinian people. And even the MPs are now commenting that it's gone the other way. Go ahead, Steve. Yeah.
We're forgetting something here.
And
the
then
British
Mark
people
can
choose
it.
Every single time to either continue voting for Conservative or Labour, both of whom are responsible for many of the things that we're talking about here now and on other matters. Those parties, I'm going to call it out for what it is, are heavily laden with traitors operating against this country.
Against the interests of the people.
Totally agree.
And what I'm going to say now is this. If the British people, who I hear on a daily basis, and I see it on social media in the area where I live as an example, recently complaining about many of the things, some of which Mark has just mentioned, and talking about all these big issues affecting this country, and yet I've pointed out to some of these people, and every time there's an election, they'll either go and vote for the people that they've always voted for, either Conservatives or Labour, switching the vote back and forth as though it's going to make any difference. And both of those parties are responsible for the past 40 or 50 years and everything that has happened to this country. And if the British people are so innately stupid to keep doing that and voting for those people, then I'm afraid to say the blame ultimately lies with the people who head off to the ballot boxes.
Oh, yeah, the woke. They've been cowed. They've been cowed. Yeah. They've been made to believe that they're not allowed to say certain things. Okay, Trevor, go ahead.
There you are. Yeah. I mean, I see them when they're going into the actual polling stations in Warrington. They're still looking for Doug Oyle's name.
Doug Oyle.
They're living in the 70s. They just vote for the pig with the lipstick on. Sorry, Charlotte. But they just vote. They vote for the pig with the lipstick on. That's what they do.
We're going to see you in the Supreme Court. I'm telling you.
Nah, we need to get rid of that as well.
What, the Supreme Court?
Yeah.
Okay,
to be honest, I think if these politicians had any decency about them, the majority would resign, but they haven't, so they won't. Well, how are we going to fix this? I'll just reiterate a little bit what Steve said. We need to get rid of these people who put us at risk in so many different ways. We've got to, we need people now to be brave and stand in local elections. We need people to change the way they vote. They've got to take our local areas back, then Parliament. We've got to start, sadly, mass deportations and repatriations.
Only
radical action is going to solve this problem. It's going to be a long process, and it probably won't happen overnight. But we might have to endure another 5 years of it with loony Labour. But no matter what the outcome, this is what we've got to start doing. We've got to change the way we vote. Stop saying it's too late, because that's what they want us to think.
Yeah, that's right. So like Steve said, snap out. Take the power. Yeah. Yeah.
Snap out of this. Labour being for the working class and the fake cons being conservative.
They're for themselves. They know it.
It's fantasy land. They are the problem. Never mind emergency legislation for Rwanda. How about emergency legislation to protect us and punish those who've failed to keep us safe?
Yes, indeed.
The right thing for the change. I'm sick of this now.
The police have been politicised. The judiciary have been politicised. They can people, you know, who are actually the wrong people to be arrested. You know, I mean, when they're actually arresting people who are praying in their head, when you get to that point, and we get hate crimes coming out from, you know, people calling up and the police being sent round to see people about hate crimes. I mean, what the hell are the police up to? You know, I'm sick and tired of it. You know,
if that equated to me, I'd get slapped every day for what I'm thinking in my head with some other people.
I think, gentlemen, I think the insanity...
You do well in Argentina, you.
We'll all be moving there soon.
I think the insanity that's all pervasive across this country now, if the insanity doesn't stop with the British people in allowing this and contributing towards all of this by voting for these people, then it's just going to continue. It's as simple as that. It's an insanity that's gripped this nation. And if it wasn't for the fact that it's an insanity, it would be laughable, but it isn't. Laughable. But
all these people, all these people should go to a country that suits their political and religious needs. That's it.
China.
Just leave.
Go to China.
I don't know where most of the Labour Party can go. New Zealand, because that's full of sheep.
New Zealand land, mate.
Matt. Get rid.
Right, what I said,
people aren't happy in this country. They should leave.
Just go. One of the politicians turned around and said that you should take Islamophobia very seriously, because there are so many ways that the Muslims in this country are being suppressed. And what I said was, I think you've got that wrong. The extremely tolerant British are not, as a general rule, Islamophobic, if there is such a thing. Islamists, and especially extreme Islamists, are institutionally British phobic, and as a minority, appear to be failing to integrate. Claiming victimhood, which is what you are attempting to do politically, for all Muslims in the UK, is a woke way of attempting to shut down reasoned arguments and suppress the majority. And I've said, that's not going to happen. The tide's turning against these vocal minorities. Go ahead, Mark.
Yes.
Tolerance is our weakness. I think I might have stolen this off Peter Hitchens, because I heard it somewhere the other week, but I think we need to be less tolerant towards those who actually hate our way of life.
Agreed.
To save this country, because...
Get them out.
Exactly, yeah.
I think for once we need to stop being British.
Yes, be like them. Be a vocal majority.
Where did
majority.
This thing come from, that we're tolerant of everything? We were not tolerant. We weren't tolerant of the IRA. We weren't tolerant of terrorists in the early days. We weren't tolerant of anyone in the wars.
We weren't tolerant
into
of
wars
slavery.
When we didn't need to.
You name
exactly.
It.
So why are we now all of a sudden got to be tolerant to things that are destroying our country? It makes absolutely no sense, but we are an upside-down world.
I had a conversation with a chap last night on email, a chap that contacted me via Reform UK. And I said to him, I am not reminiscing. He asked me a question. He said, how can we stop this, what is happening in this country at the moment? The wokeness of blah, da, 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 and these people just not in line with us. And I said, well, basically, we need to, I said, I am not reminiscing, but we need to go back to, you know, the 70s or 80s, where the people that we had in Parliament were representative of the people on the street. You know, you've got your Michael Foots and the rest of them, and all the left wingers of the party, of the Labour Party, but they connected with the people on the street, the working class people. That's where they came from. That's where they were. The problem is, at the moment, we've got nothing but a bunch of eaten mess and the rest of them that have, they've got no connection with the people of this great country. And until you get other, you know, we get proportional representation and get people in there that know how we live, then nothing will change. It'll just get worse and worse. Yeah. Right, Steve?
Can I just jump in with this? So, which is, we're talking about tolerance and extensive levels of tolerance to the point where liberalism has just run wild, where everybody wants rights, left, right, and centre, but nobody wants responsibility.
That's its weakness, Steve, isn't it?
And the irony is, liberalism, the weakness to extensive liberalism is the fact that nobody accepts responsibility for anything. And that's the issue now in this country. Nobody engages in taking responsibility for anything. And that includes the people. If our system, our entire political system, by the way, you get into a conversation about common law rights and responsibilities under the British Constitution and Magna Carta here. That's a separate issue, but it's a very big one. The fact of the matter is we all have lawful obligations under that, right? And it means we all have a responsibility to the country and to each other to protect the rights and privileges and freedoms that we have historically. Nobody takes any responsibility anymore for anything. And I'm sick to death of people complaining left, right, and centre in this country about what's going on. But you ask people to then not only start talking about it, because they'll talk about it, they'll put on social media their little views and things like this, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, etc., etc., etc. But you ask people to go forth and then do something about it, i.e. write to their local council, their councillors, or write to their MP about these big issues that we've been talking about. Few people will do it. Ask them to stand. Few people will do it. Ask them to form groups and new parties or to oppose what's going on mass. They won't do it. Too many people complain and do nothing. They do absolutely nothing. And it's time people in this country undertook some responsibility for the future of this country.
Indeed. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I knew where you were going there. You look to the past, like Steve said. People had battles. People challenged the king and his armies for our rights.
Now, what did they do? Right up to the gates of the palaces.
Yeah, I mean, look at the peasants' revolt stuff. People died. But what do they do now? Gas off on Twitter. I'm sorry, but another weakness, and it's been proven in America, is democratic voting. That's the way we get rid of these people. People just got to get off the backsides. We're not asking them to go into battle with the king or the government. We're just asking them to vote differently.
Hey, wait a minute.
Forward,
you want to be king?
Put themselves forward.
You want to identify as king? Let's go to battle.
I can whenever I want. They're the rules now, aren't they?
Mark is making a very serious point here, and it's a very big point because in local elections where I live, where an awful lot of people have been complaining about an awful lot of things, in the last election, I think the figure was about 75% or thereabouts didn't turn out to vote.
That can change the vote, Steve, can't it? That could be the silent majority.
75%. And a lot of these people who I see regularly complaining about things, I even had one approach me to stand on their behalf and had the audacity to tell me he's never even voted in elections in the past, not interested in politics, but wanted me to stand in an election for their cause while they hid behind the settee. What a joker.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Mark.
It's like these phrases like silent majority. No, shut up. We need to be the vocal majority. Stop this move, silence. No, it can't be silent. You can't type things on the internet anymore. Got to get off backsides and get active and get this problem solved.
It is changing.
You know,
I can see the tide turning.
You know, we've all stood in local elections and we've picked up a decent amount of votes. It's possible. We've got to build on this now. And the rest of them have just got to get out of this mindset.
Go ahead, stuck in a rut.
What you've got to do, you've got to motivate what we have already motivated.
Yeah.
The 17.2 million.
Yeah.
You motivate them and you'll
they'll obliterate all the rest of this stuff.
Even the first past the post, even with the corrupt system, we've got two countries, Belarus and Great Britain, that use, on this side of the Atlantic, that use this first past the post system. It's amazing. And if that's 17-point women, well, doesn't matter if I bolt, it don't make a difference. 17.2 million makes a difference.
Yeah.
Get off your backside and vote, you lazy bunch of... Get off. Hand the bin, men. Get back. Who are you?
Well, that good just segue. Brings us on to something now, because we are moving on to the local, and I have to say...
As the bin man, bin man. As the bin man, bin man.
That's going to be stuck in my head for the rest of the week. Thanks.
Brilliant. The Lancashire Hot Pots, they are absolutely fabulous. I love them.
Awesome. Bring them on.
I love them. Go ahead, Trevor.
Right, so we're going to have to do a very, very quick What a Nation Street, because we're running pretty long this week. And
who was Rusty? He's out of the show now.
Rusty's gone. Well, he's not gone yet, actually, until the 4th of December.
Oh, he's finished.
Oh, just in time for Christmas.
Benito, gone.
Yeah, well, he's got a job, and he is an elf. That's why he's got to shoot off on the 4th of December.
He lives in fantasy land.
Does he know Rudolph? Can he get his signature, please?
Well, he's actually standing in now. There's a new one where he's actually sitting on an anchor. You know the elf on the shelf?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they've got a picture of him when he's actually that's on an anchor. So you've got to make up, you've got to put the first words together. So there we go, anyway. So we've got to get through this pretty quick. So we've got our new leaders in Warrington Borough Council. Well, they were, like I say, 4th of December, but we've got them named anyway. And the leader is Hans Mundre. And his deputy dog is a lady called Jan Henshaw. Janet Henshaw, she is. Now, I'll just point out, by the way, that Hans, that do dishes at a soft desk. No, hang on. No, I've lost my track there. I've just got to point out that Hans is sitting, is the city councillor for Latchford East. Now, remember Latchford East, which is LA. It's known as LA in Warrington.
Sorry, Trevor, what's his name? Hans?
Hans.
That do dishes are as soft as you say.
Now that's Hans.
If it asks Agnant, you will accept this. You will accept this debt.
And he's from Latchford East, where all the petitions and the protests went on about the LTN, Rimmer, all that lot. Anyway, so we will see, actually, if he gets voted back in. So this might be a very, very short leadership for him, because people are not very happy with him. Anyway, he's also, get this.
Is he definitely German?
No, no, no.
Yeah.
I've got a clue.
Does he make good cars? Yeah.
Good car. Good cars. Yes.
Yeah. Electric doing very well? Yeah. Yeah. So what's Jan's thing?
1.8 billion debt. We're going for 2.3.
Yeah. Are we going to get rid of the debt?
Nine.
So there we go. Right. So
9 billion.
I'll beat you to it.
We're thinking the same.
So we'll see if he gets voted back in anyway. That's another thing. Now, he's also the current cabinet member for the transport. Electric buses, non-existent. Buses without MLCs. Anyway, I'll just leave that there. Now, apparently, there were only two other applicants for the positions. That's boding well, isn't it? Warrington Borough Council. Been Labour forever, all its time, as long as I can remember. And there's only like two other fingers.
Mundre's. I don't like Mundre's.
Now, I just got the landlords ahead of me there, because I was just going to put... now, if I may point out at this stage that if he does well in his new post, then he'll be known as the Happy Mundre's. Because I'll explain this, because his wife's also... Well, his wife's also a politician.
It could be the last post.
It may be. She's actually a politician, so, you know, if he does well, they'll be known as the Happy Mundre's. But if he carries on Rusty's bad habits and he steps on us, that was a cue for the landlord's Happy Mondays, we're going to step on you. But apparently we can't play it because it costs us too much. So that's that. And if he follows Rusty, and then, like I say, if he's going to follow Rusty, then he'll be... I've lost my track there now because I keep hearing it.
If he carries on
with Rusty's ways, then he will be a very unhappy Mundry.
I'm struggling to keep up with all this. I'm now on the third glass of whiskey here, to be honest.
And I'm going to shoot. The council down.
We should do a skit on that.
We've got to see how Mr. Mundry... puts himself forward and, from the 4th of
December. Is he German, though? Do we know that he's German?
I don't know if he's German or not. I've actually never met the chap.
I mean, having a name like Hans.
He might be Dutch.
What do you mean, Dutch? Does he wear clogs?
Hey?
Does he wear clogs, Trevor?
Not seen his clogs, no.
No clogs?
No clogs, so I would tend to agree with you that he might not be Dutch.
Does he sing songs like this? I saw a mouse.
A mouse there
on the stairs. What, of the council buildings?
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, he's obviously Dutch if he sings that.
Yeah. Does he carry tulips to work?
In fact,
to the council meetings. Here's a tulip for you. Tulip for you.
Morrissey from this man.
And here's tulips for you.
That's for his new deputy. These two.
What? Yeah. Okay. Well, so you're not happy?
Well, let's see what happens anyway. I mean, the first thing he could do, to make me a happy Mundry supporter, I think what he could do on the 5th of December, sack Bowden.
Oh, yeah. Just get rid of him.
Get rid of the servant and say, right, off you pop. Bye-bye. I'm now running the show. So if he does that and then gets a grip of it, well, watch his space. That's all I can say, because I don't hold out any hope for it, actually. And the young lad has just been made deputy leader, which is Nathan Sudworth. He's been made the deputy leader of the CLP in Warrington, and he actually works in that shallot's office. So she's actually got it all sewn up now. She's the whole of the office staff are virtually employed within the nest, as within I should say. Nest.
Sorry, Trevor, just to clarify, are you saying, for the benefit of the listeners, that staff who work for an MP are now involved in leading Warrington Borough Council?
No, Warrington Central Labour Party.
Oh, see, right.
Yeah, they're the CLP. They're running for the Central Labour Party, which is you've got the other assistant that works for her, which is Sarah Hall. She is standing for the Warrington South, and she's expected to be put in as the next MP for Warrington South to put Andy Carter to one side.
Tell you
and
what,
she will be voted in. So we will end up with obviously we won't end up because I'm standing. So you'll end up with a reform UP for MP for Warrington North, and you'll end up with Sarah Hall for Warrington South.
Trev, who voted these people in? Was it some of the same bunch that voted the last ones in and thought they were a great loss?
Yes, it was the same.
I think we know the outcome then, don't we?
Yeah, it's just exactly the same. I mean, it's just the... It's just a different... I mean, he will now be nodding the dogs instead of Russ.
Nodding the dogs?
Yeah, they just ground, they tap the back of the heads and the heads go like that.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know, like when they're in the back of the car.
Oh, yeah, I remember those.
The old Churchill dog.
Yeah.
What they do is they hold the vote and 25 of them sit in front of him and one of the councillors has to go behind and he taps the back of the head and they all start nodding like that. That's when they agree.
Just the same mess in a different wrapper.
Yep, that's it.
Exactly the
same. Stop stealing my sayings, you.
So he's got two chances anyway, hasn't he, really? He's got, he can either be a happy Mundry or an unhappy Mundry. And I really can't see it being happy myself. But
I think those songs are absolutely brilliant to describe. We should use those.
Give him the benefit of the doubt, and then next week we'll rip him bits again.
Yeah. It will be a new version of Varanation Street. Yeah.
You will not shout at me.
And you will like this debt.
In fact, I'll look into that, what his actual nationality is.
Well, with a name like Hans, it's got to be German.
Yeah, Hans Mundry. Yeah, I tend to agree with it. It does sound German.
Well, let's put it this way. When the debt goes up to 2.3 bill, I think he might just go back to Germany after that and disappear. Okay.
Well, let's see what happens in the local elections.
Yes.
Indeed. He might change his name to Windsor so no one cottons on.
What, Windsor Mundry?
Yeah. Oh, there's a thought. Yeah. Well, like, yeah, I'm straight with you there, Mark.
You're getting it now, yeah.
I'm surprised that Steve missed it, actually, on about the royal family, and he missed it.
Yeah, because they were all German.
He's not paying attention, is he?
No. He doesn't care now. He's looking at stuff like this, and he's in a different world. Mr. Yeah, USB, I got this plugged in right?
Well, listen, I'm not having any blame for the technical.
I'm telling you now, you both speak at the same time. You were made for one another. Get a room. Go on, go.
Steve,
here's some tulips for you.
That's so disturbing. It's beyond belief. I don't know whether people can see this, but I don't know.
Tulips for you.
It's real.
I put up the other day, I've lost my track now.
I've got a bone to pick with you. Anyway, Trevor, I put a picture up the other day when I went out for a cycle ride on Wednesday last week.
He did nothing but complain about the seat cutting him in half. I just said it's because he's too fat.
I went out and I ended up at Flint Castle up North Wales, which is about 11 miles.
It was a lovely photo that Steve as well. It was lovely.
Yeah, and then I put a picture of my bike with a lovely scene in the background, right? And then you
a lovely
put,
scene, that. It was a lovely scene.
And then you put, lovely piece of countryside, but some scumbag has left an old bike there.
That was it. Yeah, see, now. And I think it's terrible, that. That fly tipping needs to be stopped. We've got a lot of it going on at Warrington.
Especially at historical monuments, like castles in Wales.
Yeah, and somebody put a penny farthing right in front of a beautiful landscape. It was terrible.
Excuse me, I was doing about 25 mile an hour on that.
You were breaking the speed limits then if you were in Wales. That's disgusting.
Oh, hey.
That's an admission for anybody, any police officer listening.
Yeah.
Breaking the speed limits.
Might have been about 20, just coming up to 20.
Changing your tune now.
But I need to know, Steve, when you was pedalling, did you overtake any cars?
Yeah.
Because when you start to overtake the cars in Wales now, you've got to give them 1.5 metres.
Yeah. And were you undertaking?
No.
Okay, well, seems as though Wales are not going to fine you. We will. Get to the bar, Raven, do your bit, fluff your feathers, and get that money out. The digital
coin. Well, I might actually get the drinks.
Please.
They're doing it again, aren't they?
I might actually get the drinks in because I'm going to have a little celebration at the weekend.
Yes.
You've remembered the combination to your wallet.
Well,
he's reconnected to his wallet.
I've had a little bit of good news today. Yes. Personal good news. A little bit of success has raised its head in the Ingram household.
Don't tell anybody.
No. And so it's very nice. And,
we don't want to know. We don't want everybody to know that you're pregnant.
And
the operation went well then.
Yeah. Gonna have a few,
what did you do with it? Did you keep it?
I'd love to get a word in this hellhole of a place. And I'm going to have a few drinks on Saturday. Also, going to see The Jammed again on Saturday at the Live Rooms in Chester. And then...
say hello to the lads.
I will.
From all of us.
Oh, take a loan out there. That's expensive.
God, work it. Yeah. Elaine's going to see Tony Osmond the week after. Then we're not going anywhere. Then we're going to see an ABBA group at the Live Rooms again the week after. So we've got a few things going on. We have a little celebration, a few drinks at the weekend. That'd be nice, yeah.
Well, that's very, very nice. We like to hear that. Shout outs and shout downs. Anybody want to comment on that? Because we've just seen Trevor just zip off to the toilet.
Go on,
it's a good job his mic is off.
I'll let Mark go first. I'm a gentleman.
Yeah, I'm just going to do something lighthearted and just say to anyone who's bored, you want to add some excitement to your day, I dare you to call a woman's rights group and ask to speak to the man in charge.
Oh dear,
that won't go down well.
No, you're on your own with that one. I keep out of trouble with things like that.
And then anyone who's still confused about the gender issue, try milking a bull and you'll learn really quickly.
Yeah, that's right. You're damn right there. Well, I want to actually, this is more of a sort of a shout out, shout down, I don't know, it's a sort of an in between, because I just want to say that I bought 3 televisions from our local Asda, and all 3 of them broke down within 2 weeks of each other. And I'm starting to... the antenna.
Inbuilt obsolescence.
That's it. That's
the
one.
Right. Inbuilt euthanasia. Same thing. Yeah.
You know, and I contacted them at customer services, and nobody came back to me. And I sent an email to the CEO. And like flash, they came back to me and said, somebody's going to be in touch with me. So let's see what happens from there. But yes, I have to say that I'm beginning
rather
to
rather coincidental,
think,
wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Three television. Time.
And believe it or not, they were all manufactured in Turkey. So there you have it.
Probably where the call center is. They were probably in bed. You just ring at a different time. Maybe it was India. Maybe it was bedtime.
Well, whatever it is, I think I'm beginning to suspect that there's something not quite right about the way that electronic goods are sold to the public in this country. So there you go. That's my in-between. Shout out, shout down. Let's see what they did. They came back quick enough with the CEO's office. So let's see what happens after that. Go ahead, Trevor. Shout out, shout down.
Yeah, well, I've got a shout down this week, which is my town's Christmas lights.
Is that what you call them?
It looked like a kid had just drawn on a picture, you know, just scribbled
the lights. Swan or something like that. I don't even know what they are.
The thing is, there's no money left, is there? So you can't afford them.
Tell you what, absolutely atrocious.
Yeah, but they've got the electric company to be able to power them.
Until 5 past.
I'm just stunned. I don't know what to say.
I wish we could actually
tell you what.
When we go video, we should put pictures up of these things that we put up when we say, you remember what we were talking about at Christmas with Warrington? Well, here's their Warrington lights. Yeah, and just show them. So you're not happy?
I'm not happy at all. No, I think it's terrible. I mean, what's going on in this town? The sooner we get Reform UK, you know, I tell you.
Keep pushing it. Keep pushing it. Okay, Stevie.
I've got about 4 candidates at the moment. I'm going to I'll get out with a press gang this weekend and a couple of chains, and we'll shackle them, and we'll have about another 8 by the following weekend.
You go. Press ganging candidates to stand for Reform. That doesn't sound too enticing.
All I can say is a little bit of news off the press.
You missed that, didn't you? That doesn't sound too enticing.
Enticing, yeah.
Oh,
just wasn't funny.
I say that was clever.
Right, the hell with you.
I did.
Wasted on you. Philistines. You just...
I've hot off the press again. I mean, this is all about sort of a day old, this. But the Warrington Council, we have what's called the all-outs now. I mean, you've probably had them for years, but I mean, we've not, because we used to have them annually. But now we have an all-out, which is all 57 seats go up for grabs.
Yeah.
And Warrington are struggling to fill the positions. In my ward alone, the 3 councillors have stood down.
Yeah.
And they've only got 1 to replace him. Wolston Ward, they haven't got any to stand in yet. And all the usual ones, which are Lib Dems, which are Grapnell, Lame, etc., they haven't got any to stand.
Well, would you want to have the responsibility of being in the Labour Party and knock on doors and explain £1.8 billion worth of debt? Yes. I wouldn't want to be involved in that. No, thanks.
No, I totally agree with you. But, I mean, again, Steve, it doesn't matter. They still vote the pig in with a lipstick. And going back to Charlotte, actually.
how long is this going to go on?
Sorry?
How long is this going to go on?
What are you demanding? You're not... Just, all right, that's it. That's a mute for him.
That's four mutes. No, you've got five.
That's five mutes. He's muted.
I nearly had it.
Take no notice of him, Gazelle. You go on as long as you like.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a problem here because I don't know if it's copyrighting that, but it's not anyway. There's a lot of people saying, hey, when you're giving your opinions, you said, oh, well, I'll be giving my opinion on Gaza soon, but because the software...
Soon.
Yeah, the software is broken down.
Software? Soon? What?
We have had a number of technical problems in the last week.
What, splinters in a backside?
It's called...
That fence.
Not sure which side of the fence I should sit on. I'll sit on the middle.
Typically, our response time is within a week for urgent things. Urgent and casework inquiries.
She doesn't want to cause any problems, any rifts, anything. She doesn't want to be involved in anything which is going to cause a problem for Labour.
Her fault.
Correct.
Oh, why are people won't clarify things involved in politics? I don't get this.
Well, anyway, go ahead. Let's move it on. Stevie, what are yours?
Yes, well, first of all, I just want to reiterate my little sort of shout down at the start to David Cameron for being parachuted in and wanting to give billions more to other countries.
Yeah.
It's appalling.
Okay. Absolute move it joke. On, move it on, move it on.
Well, I've got a shout down actually, which is to a combination of very hard bicycle seats, very hard narrow bicycle tires coupled with very rough roads. It is not a good combination.
Well, you weren't exactly speaking to me the other day in that voice. It was slightly higher.
So my shout out, which I'll give as well, is to Amsterdam, the Netherlands rather, for having amazing cycle networks all over the place. The best cycle network in the world. Smooth roads, safe roads.
Move to Wales. Go on. Move to Wales.
Loads of people use cycles in the Netherlands because they've got the facilities, nice smooth roads, great cycling country, and I think I might go there.
Yeah, yucky dack. Go on.
Yeah. And they're all on blow as well. That's why they don't feel it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we go with that. Well, in that case, then, we know what time it is. It's time to go. Go ahead. Say goodnight, Statsman.
Good night to our lovely listeners, and of course, you fine people.
Here we go. Good night again. It's not good night. It's not good night.
Shut up, morning. Good morning. Good evening. Whenever you're listening to this.
Okay.
How many
mutes has he had?
He's had five.
Six now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, that's
good. Go ahead, Gazelle.
Yeah, I've got to say good night, ladies and gentlemen. I really don't want to go. I mean, I've got some comments here for Charlotte. I could go on for about another half hour, but I believe the tape's running out because we've got one of them old tape machines. So we've only got about 15 minutes left on it, so I can't talk about Shilot this week. So we'll do it next week, don't worry.
Indeed. Stevie, go on.
Yes, I'd just like to say goodbye to all our lovely listeners in Cheshire and beyond. And at some point, I'm guessing we might actually do a Cheshire-based theme. Tonight we've been talking about Argentina, somebody being voted in Argentina, all sort of wacky stuff going on over there.
Don't cry for me, Cheshire Mountains.
You know, let's do a little bit of a celebration for our Cheshire churches coming up to Christmas. Things like that. Let's do some really nice stuff and get focused on proper Christmas. Let's remember what Christmas is about. Talking of Christmas, I hope you're all getting ready, organised with your presents, your cards.
No, it's November. Shh.
Hope you've got your tree up and getting excited about everything coming forward for
November.
Somebody mentions Christmas in November, Santa shoots an elf.
It's three elves dead.
Yeah.
So I hope you're all getting excited for Christmas coming up and getting ready. Elves. Looking forward to it. It's going to be nice.
That's it. On behalf of all elves.
There's no elves left now.
Muted.
And he's actually cutting.
That's
eight. He's cutting people off for talking about Christmas. He's a disgrace. The man's a disgrace.
Hey, you want to see our Christmas lights? They're a disgrace.
Well, there's a little campaign for you, Trevor, for Warrington. Sort of shame the council on the Christmas lights over there.
You know? Another campaign. You know?